Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
The idiot from Missouri.
Here we go with episode 111 as I crank these shows out as fast as I possibly can.
Okay.
And in this case, it's one every 2 or 3 weeks.
That's enough.
And sure, I could do more shows if I didn't put so much time and effort into every single episode. But that's what makes this the best podcast ever.
Don't be arrogant.
And hopefully that's why you've come back for another journey into podcast excellence.
I don't want to hear this crap.
I'm Monty.
I don't care who you are.
Enjoy the show. I'm going to kick this show off today with the long-awaited top 10 playoffs.
Playoffs?
That's right. All year long, you've been sending me your top 10s, and on this episode, I'm going to crown a champion.
Playoffs?
And the best news of all is that the winner is going to receive an amazing prize package.
Wow.
So here's how it's going to work. Since it's the top 10 playoffs, I have narrowed it down to the top 10 finalists. From there, I will pick a final four and then narrow it down to a final two, and they will battle it out in the championship. Now, before I get into all that, I must mention four people who just missed and failed to get into the top 10. And they would be Alex Barlow for his top 10 songs that are awesome, Fabrice in France for his top 10 Wild Heart songs, Gary in Maryland for his top 10 Galactic Cowboy songs, and Mr. David Whiteman for his top albums of 2012. You guys were all great, but you just missed the final cut.
Too bad.
So here we go. The top 10 finalists, in no particular order, begin with Stephen Hines in his top 10 Tasty Drummers.
Wow!
Yeah, that was a very good list, and Stephen got extra points for it being an MP3. However, he had Jerry Gaskell on the list instead of Alan Doss, and so that might cost him.
That's not fair.
The next finalist is Rick Messner for his list of things that sucked in 2012.
Ooh, yeah!
Among the things that sucked, the government, the economy, and the election.
I thought that was really inappropriate.
Next on the list of finalists is Jimmy G with 10 random things he was thinking about.
Oh, yeah, good one. I never thought of that.
Also finishing in the top 10 is Patrick Wolf with his top 10 rock cameos.
Yeah! Woo!
His choices included Anthrax on Married with Children and Spinal Tap on The Simpsons playing Break Like the Wind. Returning as a finalist, previous top 10 champion John Huff comes back with top 10 lists that will not win you the top 10 playoffs.
Great and amazing.
Making his way into the finals on his first try is Andy in New York with top 10 bands I used to love but can't stand now. Way to go, Andy, bringing it strong with groups like U2, Pearl Jam, and R.E.M.
Yeah.
Another former champion making his way back as a finalist this year is Brady Jennings.
Well, whoop-de-doo.
Brady's list was his top 12 albums that keep on giving, and his choices included Galactic Cowboys, Space in Your Face, and Crunchy Loserville. And so, yeah, he's a finalist.
Somebody's got to call shenanigans on this.
Also making his way into the top 10 is Jim Youngs from Syracuse with top 10 songs he shouldn't like but does.
It was remarkable.
Only two spots left, and one of them is going to Sarah Leonard with her top 10 ugliest musicians ever.
Well, that seems mean.
And finally, the final finalist. Wow, it's once again Jimmy G with his top 10 rock bass players who inspired him.
Just shocking.
You know, even I am surprised at that, and I picked the finalist. But there you have it, the top 10 of the top 10s. I'm going to tell you the final four in a few minutes, but first, it's time for another visit from our old friend here in Kansas City, Jimmy Jeff.
Jimmy Jeff's Badass CD Review.
The views and opinions of Jimmy Jeff do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Rockcast.
Yep.
Any similarities between Jimmy Jeff and other morons, rednecks, or retards are merely coincidental.
I heard that.
All right, on the phone, we've got Jimmy Jeff. How you doing, man?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much, man. What have you been doing?
All the same old thing.
Yeah?
Working at the auto body shop.
Yeah.
Playing the Call of Duty on the Xbox.
Right.
And watching the NASCAR.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got a favorite driver?
Oh, yeah. I like Carl Edwards and Greg Biffle.
Sure. How about that Danica Patrick?
Yeah, well, she ain't much of a driver, but she is hot.
Well, very true, but I saw she was sitting on the pole at Daytona.
Did you say she was sitting on the pole?
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The pole position. The front row.
I'm just yanking your chain.
Yeah, I know.
The deal with Danica Patrick is she can drive really fast.
Really?
But when you get her out there with all the other drivers, she ain't got a clue as to what she's doing.
Really?
She's nice to look at and all, but if you ask me, she ought to just stay home and bake some cookies.
No, that's nice.
It's just a fact of life. Women have no business being behind the wheel of a race car.
Oh, really?
Or any car for that matter.
What?
And neither should the Chinese.
All right, we get your point.
Now, I don't want to sound racist, but those people should just stick to what they do best.
Oh, boy.
And that's making radios and televisions.
What?
And just stay off the roads.
Okay, well, before I get my show taken off of the iTunes store, why don't we change the subject to something else?
Hey, I'm just telling it like it is.
All right. Well, have you heard any new CDs lately?
Well, yeah. You heard that new one by Buck Cherry?
Buck Cherry. Yeah, actually, I've got that CD.
Yeah, they kick ass.
Yeah, I liked about three songs on there, and the rest of it's kind of...
awesome?
No, I was going to say not so great.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Well, let me guess. You loved it?
Damn straight.
Of course.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd have to give it a 12.
Hey man, do you wanna get a fist so hard? Do you wanna see who's in charge? I'm gonna show you your future. Hey man, you think you're strong enough to play this game? It's gonna burn like acid rain. You're gonna need some sutures.
You know, the thing I like about Buck Cherry is that they don't just do one thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they like to mix it up.
Yeah? What do you mean?
You know, some of their songs sound like Crazy Bitch.
Right.
But then they'll turn around and do something completely different that sounds like All Lit Up.
Okay, that's really not that different, is
it? Yeah, that's when you know a band is talented.
Inside my mind is where the secrets lie.
So, Jimmy Jeff, I noticed the name of the new Buck Cherry CD is called Confessions.
Yeah.
And I noticed they've got song titles like Pride, Envy, Lust, Sloth, and Gluttony.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why I like them. They write about stuff I can relate to.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I can tear up an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, you know, it sounds like they're trying to be a little deeper lyrically on this CD.
Well, you know, I'm sure you can't write songs about getting high and having sex all the time.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I mean, those are the songs that I like.
Oh.
But what the hell, I guess you can't have everything you want in life.
Yeah. Man, before you go, why don't you tell us what's coming up in the life of Jimmy Jeff?
Well, this summer I'm probably taking the bass boat down to the Ozarks and doing some fishing.
No, how exciting.
Yeah, my old lady wants to go, but she is not invited.
No, yeah?
There ain't gonna be no time for no women.
Really?
Just me and a couple of buddies from work sitting on the lake all day long, getting hammered ass wasted.
Ah, that sounds like a delightful time.
Hell yeah.
So are you going to Rockfest this summer?
Oh, hell yeah. I never miss it. I go every single year. It's outside. It's hotter than hell. There's about 60,000 people and about 50 bands.
Actually, I think there's 12 bands.
Oh, it is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I saw Killswitch Engage is on the bill this year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know who they are.
What? Really?
But I can't wait to see Alice in Chains and Papa Roach and Seether.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I tell you what, that Papa Roach puts on a hell of a show.
Oh, yeah?
When he comes out there, man, that whole crowd goes crazy.
You know there's no one in the band named Papa Roach.
Well, I gotta get out of here. I'm going to get a tattoo of my old lady and put on my arm.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, it's gonna be a picture of the devil.
Oh, all right. I get it. Okay, Jimmy Jeff. Well, thanks for being with us.
All right, take her easy. And as a wise man once said, don't let your meat loaf.
Yeah. Well, it's always good to have Jimmy Jeff on the show. I know a lot of you guys like him, and some of you guys don't, but you gotta understand, he's from Kansas City, and that's just the way people are here.
Crazy crackers.
But enough about Jimmy Jeff. Let's get back to the top 10 playoffs.
Yep. Okay.
All right, it's time to announce the final four. I'm gonna have two brackets, and the winner of each bracket will face off in the final.
Huh?
Do you understand?
No, I don't.
All right, well, here we go. In bracket number one, the first person into the final four is Jim from Syracuse with his top 10 songs he shouldn't like but does.
It's just wonderful stuff.
Congratulations, Jim. Good job.
Nobody knows where any of this is gonna go.
Facing Jim in bracket number one will be another Jim, Jimmy G, with his list of random things he was thinking about.
I wish I'd thought of that.
All right, in bracket number two, this person had never sent in a list before, and on her first attempt, She gets all the way to the Final Four. It's Sarah Leonard from Missouri with the 10 Ugliest Musicians Ever.
Ah!
Congratulations, Sarah. You're a rookie phenom.
How could anybody not be just absolutely bouncing off the walls with how incredible this is?
Facing off against Sarah and the last person into the Final Four is John Huff from Canada with Top 10 Lists That Will Not Win the Top 10 Playoffs. So congratulations to Jimmy, Jim, John, and Sarah. You guys are in the Final Four, and in a few minutes, we will find out who advances on to the finals. On the last episode, I did a new segment that turned out to be so incredibly popular that I'm going to have to do it again. So here we go with something that I like to call Rapid Fire Emails, Comments, Top Tens, and Questions. You know, thanks to you guys, I never run out of stuff to talk about because you've always got great questions and comments. For example, Jeff Moore in Mississippi said that he liked my list of 10 most hated celebrities, and he agreed with at least 9 out of the 10.
I despise them all.
Well, thanks, Jeff. And speaking of celebrities, the other day I started watching The Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump. Anybody watching that?
No.
Yeah, I love that show, but there's this woman on there named Omarosa, and this broad is from hell.
Total evil!
I mean, she would have made my list, but she's not even a celebrity. I'm not sure how she got on that show, but if I had to be around her for more than one day, I'm not sure whether I would kill her or myself first. But it's a cool show. They've got people on there like Dennis Rodman and Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. And Gary Busey is just a complete train wreck. And Bret Michaels is on there once again. But it was so obvious the first episode that Donald Trump, for some reason, just cannot stand him anymore. And it was so weird because Bret Michaels would start to say something and Donald Trump would just go, "Yeah, nobody cares, shut up." And, oh yeah, by the way, Brett, you fired. I didn't really get it. I've heard Brett Michaels is kind of a tool, so maybe that was it. Or maybe Donald Trump is just still pissed off about all those horrible Poison albums.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, moving on. I got a couple of comments and a question from Anthony in New Jersey. And apparently Anthony is not a fan of Jimmy Jeff.
That's crazy!
However, he does like the Go-Go's better than the Bangles. And he thinks that the best almost all-female band of all time was Veruca Salt.
Are you some kind of moron?
Yeah, I'd kind of forgotten about them, but they are a very cool band. I have several of their albums. Why don't we listen to a little Veruca Salt?
Straight for me.
was Veruca Salt with a song called Straight. And coincidentally, Anthony had a question about the subject of being straight or not straight.
I beg your pardon.
He says, Monty, I have a very challenging question for you. If you don't want to touch it, I understand, but what's your take on homosexuality and the progressive push for marriage equality?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a touchy one, all right, because regardless of what you say, you're going to upset somebody. So let me just start off by saying I'm a heterosexual myself, so I don't really understand the whole gay thing, or can I relate? But I have had some gay friends over the years. In fact, I knew one guy for 10 years and I had no idea. But he was a cool person and it never affected anything in our friendship, and we're still friends today. So I'm not someone who's going to stand on a soapbox or run around judging everyone for their sexual preference based on religious beliefs or anything else. All that said, I cannot stand militant gays who want to push an agenda down my throat. How you choose to have sex does not make you special or better than anyone else, nor should it be your entire identity. And just because you believe you were born that way doesn't mean that the people who don't agree with you are afraid of you. Speaking for myself, I am not a homophobe, because gay people do not scare me, but some of them do annoy the hell out of me. And I ought to be able to say that.
Well, certainly.
Now, as far as marriage, yes, that has traditionally been reserved for a man and a woman. But if you gays want to be as miserable as the rest of us heteros, well, you go right ahead and keep pushing it.
Say what? Excuse me?
That was just a joke.
That's what I thought.
But thanks for the question, Anthony.
That's so gay.
I also had a few questions from you guys about my old band, Galactic Cowboys. Ryan Sessions in Georgia said, Monty, I read in Metal Edge magazine a long time ago that you guys built your own studio to record the Horse That Bud Bought CD. Whatever happened to that equipment?
Who cares?
Well, yes, Ryan. After we got dropped by Geffen and picked up by Metal Blade, we finally decided to get smart and invest in some equipment and start doing things ourselves. We usually rented out a couple of rooms in either a warehouse or an office building, and we just go in and soundproof it and set up and start recording. We saved a ton of money doing it that way, and if you ask me, those last three albums sounded pretty dang good.
I'm not so sure.
When we finally called it quits, we just got together and divided all the stuff up in between us, and I took the mixing board and a couple of the ADATs, and I eventually recorded my crunchy all-day sucker CD on them. Since then, I've sold all of it and started recording on my computer, but that's what happened to all that stuff.
Amazing info.
Ryan also asked, are you tired of GC always being looped in with King's X? I love both bands, but it always seems that both bands go hand in hand.
I'm interested in your response to this.
Well, first of all, the guys in King's X are great musicians. I've known them for years. They're friends of mine, and I love them. They helped open a lot of doors for us. They took us on tour. They were very cool to us, and I will always appreciate them. But does it bug me that we've always been compared to them? Well, yes and no. On one hand, it's nice to be compared to a really talented band, but on the other hand, you want your own identity. And for 10 straight years, it didn't matter whether it was an article, an interview, or you were just talking to somebody about Galactic Cowboys, the conversation always ended up on King's X. And sure, I get it. We had the same manager, the same producer for a while. We toured together, and we even had some of the same influences, like the Beatles. But I looked at us as more of a weird, progressive, thrash, punk, metal kind of band who did wild instrumental breaks in the middle of their songs and also had a sense of humor. So yeah, it kind of bugged me for a long time, but after I left Galactic Cowboys and started Crunchy, all anybody wanted to talk about or compare me to was Galactic Cowboys. So that's the way it goes. You're always going to be compared to something, and at least GC wasn't compared to something horrible.
You're sure about that?
Well, maybe we were, and I just didn't know it.
Bingo!
And finally, Phil Robinson wrote to tell me that he thinks Doug Pinnick has the best bass tone ever, but he also likes mine.
Ah!
Yeah, see what I mean?
Loser! You're a loser!
Phil went on to say that he's noticed my playing has evolved over the years from The Awful Truth to playing with Dane and then Wally and Galactic, and he wondered how much of that was my own personal preference or how much of it was just to fit with the guitarist I happened to be playing with at the time.
It's the simplest question in the world!
Well, Phil, when I was in The Awful Truth, we were a three-piece, and when David was playing clean or a solo, I would use a lot of chords to just fill out the space. And when I combined the chords with distortion, it almost sounded like there was a rhythm guitar playing. But when I started Galactic Cowboys, I knew I wanted the big, heavy guitar there all the time, and I didn't really have to fill that space up as much anymore, but I still thought in terms of guitar when it came to bass. I was still playing chords, I was still playing with distortion, but a lot of the time the guitar and the bass were playing the same parts.
Why?
Mainly because I was writing a lot of the songs.
Oh.
Now if it was somebody else's song that they brought in, I would either play what they wanted me to play or just adapt my style to that particular song. But if it was my song, I was usually playing the parts I had written on guitar on the bass.
What are you talking about?
So I hope you understood that very confusing explanation, Phil. And thanks for your question.
How could anybody be bored?
Okay, continuing on with the top 10 playoffs, here we go with the final four. And in bracket number one, we've got Jimmy G against Jim from Syracuse.
Extremely exciting.
Now, this is going to be a tough one because I like both of these lists. Jimmy G had the 10 random things he was thinking about, and Jim from Syracuse has the songs he shouldn't like but does. Now, Jim from Syracuse gets a lot of extra points because it was an MP3. He took the time to read it, record it, and send it to me, and that showed a lot of extra effort. However, Jimmy G's list was really off the wall, showed a lot of creativity, and it gave me a lot to talk about. So on the basis that it was a little bit more original, Jimmy G hits a shot at the buzzer and wins it and goes on to the finals. All right, in bracket number two, we've got John Huff from Canada going up against Sarah Leonard from Missouri. And this should be interesting because John is a former top 10 champion and Sarah is a first-time rookie. Will experience prevail? Let's find out.
We can't wait.
Of course, as expected, John came back into the rock cast and brought it extremely strong with an MP3 to boot. On the other hand, Sarah came from out of nowhere and slapped us all upside the head with the top 10 ugliest musicians ever. On the list were the likes of Lady Gaga without makeup, Marilyn Manson, Rick Ocasek from The Cars, Miles Davis, Lemmy, and of course at number one was Shane McGowan from The Pogues.
Horrible.
However, Sarah, I kind of liked your honorable mentions a little bit better. You had Willie Nelson, Meatloaf, Lyle Lovett.
Scary.
And so even though your list was mean-spirited and I loved your hatefulness, I'm going to have to go with John Huff from Canada to the finals. So congratulations, Jimmy G and John Huff. You will be squaring off in the championship. Who will be this year's king of the top tens? Stay tuned. So the other day, I was talking to my girlfriend, Lindsay, and we were discussing life and politics and the general state of the world. And out of nowhere, she just goes, "Hey, Monty, what's on TV?" Well, needless to say, I was a little bit surprised at that question, but I thought about it and I said, a lot.
That's the answer.
Yeah, there's all kinds of new seasons of reality shows like Survivor and Hell's Kitchen. You got March Madness and all the NCAA games going on. But if you just want to feel better about who you are and you don't mind getting a little sick to your stomach, there's always a nice episode of My Strange Addiction.
I'm about to vomit.
Yes, for some people, drugs, alcohol, or internet porn just don't quite cut it. Something apparently went terribly wrong in the lives of these weirdos, and they have no other choice except to eat cat food, drink gasoline, or form an intimate relationship with an inflatable animal.
Isn't that just sick?
Ah, it's a great world we live in when you can literally get addicted to anything.
Right.
So you were in your yard one day and got stung by a bee, and you decided that it felt good. Well, just start collecting bees and sting yourself about 15 times a day.
Ah!
Or perhaps you've decided that you just love the smell of mothballs. You could just hold them up to your nose and inhale them all day long. But why stop there? Put them in your car, stuff them in your sofa, put them all over the house. But whatever you do, don't bother reading the warning label that says this could kill you.
So I would never do that.
Now, if you like rock documentaries, may I suggest a movie that I saw on Showtime called The History of the Eagles? And yes, I'm talking about the Don Henley, Glenn Frey classic rock band Eagles. And I know what you're saying. Hey, Monty, I didn't know you liked the Eagles. Well, I don't. If I never hear Desperado, Take It Easy, or Tequila Sunrise ever again, I will be fine. And I know when you think of the Eagles, you think, oh, all the great songs. Well, were they really that great, or were they just popular? Because there is a difference.
Really?
Just because you've heard a song a million times on your crappy FM radio station doesn't mean it's good. And the Eagles have had a ton of hits that I've always hated. But what can I say? I'm a sucker for a music documentary because I love to see other musicians struggle, fight with each other, and go through lawsuits.
Really enjoyable.
So when I saw it listed on the channel guide, I thought, ah, what the heck, I'll tape it. And this thing was 3 hours and 15 minutes long, so I ended up watching it in bits and pieces over the course of about 2.5 weeks. But I'll tell you what, for a movie about a band that I never really cared much about, I found it really interesting. There was a lot of great footage, a lot of cameo interviews from everybody that was involved, and I thought they told the story really well. I knew very little about the Eagles going into this, except that I'd always heard that Don Henley and Glenn Frey were egotistical a-holes. And there was really nothing in this film that debunked that theory.
A couple of tools.
However, I could sympathize with the problems they had when dealing with David Geffen.
Satan.
According to the movie, Geffen took most of their publishing, sued Don Henley for $30 million, and then called him ungrateful.
A nice guy.
I never actually met David Geffen myself, but I was on his label, and I too got screwed over.
True that. Yeah, you did.
Like a lot of these documentaries about bands, you find out how slimy the music industry is, and you also find out how hard you have to work as a musician to make it. For instance, I did not know that the Eagles were originally the backup band for Linda Ronstadt. Speaking of which, oh, did I have a crush on her when I was 18?
Yeah.
I had a poster of her on my bedroom wall right next to Ann Wilson from Heart.
Yeah.
And yeah, ironically, both of those gals have gained about 300 pounds since then, but that's neither here nor there. The Eagles battled their way through lineup changes, drug addictions, and bitter, hateful breakups. And then got back together 14 years later for reunion tours and new CDs, and this time all clean and sober.
All right.
Yeah, it never ceases to amaze me. Musicians like this do drugs for about 3 or 4 decades, and then they get into their 60s and they're suddenly, drugs are bad, okay? It's like it suddenly dawns on him, maybe we play better when we're not strung out on cocaine. However, from the sound of their last couple albums, maybe they should just go back to the drugs.
Totally.
I mean, seriously, if I pulled a piece of crap out of my butt like Get Over It, not only would that song never see the light of day, I would get flipped off if I ever tried to play it for anyone. However, I did figure out one thing by watching this movie, and that's that I actually like a couple of things about the Eagles.
No way!
For one thing, Don Felder and Joe Walsh are awesome guitar players, and I actually don't hate Victim of Love or Hotel California. In fact, the guitar solo at the end of Hotel California is truly classic rock. Great lead playing by Don Felder, who also wrote the chord progression to this song, and to me it was the best stuff the Eagles ever did. So naturally they kicked him out of the band. But at least they kept Joe Walsh. And by the way, for a guy that seems one step below Gary Busey in the brain department, has anyone ever written more classic, amazing guitar parts than Joe Walsh? Alright, so if you like the Eagles, definitely check out The History of the Eagles. If you don't like the Eagles, well, you might like this anyway.
I've had enough of them!
Then again, maybe not.
No one wants to watch it.
And finally, does anybody remember that group from the late 60s called the Cowsills?
No!
Oh, well, let me try and refresh your memory.
Then I knew she could make me
Yeah, remember that?
No!
Oh, well, how about this?
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair. Shining, gleaming, streaming, flaxing, waxing. Give me down to there. Shoulder length longer. Here, baby, there, mama. Everywhere, daddy, daddy, hair. Grow it, show it.
All right, anybody remember that?
No, it's not ringing a bell.
Oh, well, I remember the Cowsills because this was the group that the TV show The Partridge Family was based on. In fact, it was originally supposed to be the Cowsills playing themselves, but instead they got actors like Danny Bonaducci and David Cassidy.
Wow.
But I hadn't really thought about the Cowsills in a long time until the other day I was watching Showtime, and there was a movie on there called The Family Band. And once again, I started watching it, and it was great.
I bet it was!
If you haven't heard of the Cowsills, well, let me tell you. Mr. and Mrs. Bud Cowsill got married when they were about 16, and they proceeded to have around 7 kids who all happened to be musically talented.
Cool.
So they formed a band, and they even stuck Mom in the group.
Not cool.
Now, how this formula ever worked, I don't know, but it did. They had several hits in the 60s, and they got pretty huge. However, as was the case with the Jacksons and the Beach Boys and all those kind of family bands, Dad was also the manager. He was overbearing, abusive, beat the hell out of them, and then took all the money.
What a great guy.
As you might have guessed, even though they sold millions of albums and made about $20 million over the course of their career, they saw none of it and ended up broke.
That's fabulous!
And that, my friends, is another delightful story about the music business. Seems like everyone gets screwed over by a manager or a record company, or in this case, their dad. But despite all the hard work and misery that those poor people had to go through, we can sit back and be entertained by a movie like this and have a good time at their expense. So if you get a chance, check out the documentary Family Band about the Cow Sills. Awesome stuff. And now, ladies and gentlemen, what you've all been waiting for. It's the championship finals of the Top 10 Playoffs.
Big deal.
This year we have Jimmy G with his top 10 random things he was thinking about, which ranged from NHL hockey to bass gear, going up against John Huff with his top 10 list that will not win you the top 10 playoffs.
I don't get it.
Among those lists on his list were top 10 Beyonce videos, top 10 reasons to love backup dancers, top 10 reasons why beer is better than Yoo-Hoo, and top 10 things to eat with mustard.
Yeah.
Now, both of these guys fought hard to get here. John recorded his and sent it to me, and Jimmy G sent me at least four or five different lists over the course of the year. And I gotta tell you, it was a tough decision, but based on originality, creativity, effort, and overall comedic value, this year's winner of the Top 10 Playoff Championship is... John Huff from Canada. There you have it, our first time repeat champion, grabbing his second title in 4 years. Congratulations, John. And now here to accept his award is writer, musician, Rockcast listener, and all-around cool guy, John Huff.
Hello, Monty, and hello, Rockcast listeners.
Hey, John.
It's John from Canada here, and wow.
You're shocked, aren't you?
Once again, I'm just at a loss for words. It is such an honor to win the Rockcast Top 10 Playoffs for a second time.
Yeah, really, hard to believe.
I don't even know what to say except thank you. Thank you so much.
Ah, you're welcome, John.
You know, I didn't get into this business for accolades. I started doing lists for the same reason everyone else does, to get chicks.
Yeah.
But winning the Rockcast Playoffs really showed me what's what. You know, it took me to another level in terms of what I think is possible with real dedication and with genuine passion.
Ah, well, that is awesome. Well, thanks so much, John.
You know, when you win this thing, it's like you don't belong to yourself anymore.
Oh.
You belong to the world.
Yeah?
You become an icon.
Really?
The pressure is enormous, but it can really bring out the best in a person, and I feel like I've only grown as a list maker since I won 2 years ago.
Ah, well, that is amazing.
That's not to say it's been easy.
Well,
every
no.
day, I'm up at 5:30 a.m. just running my numbers, 1 to 10, 1 to 10, 1 to 10, over and over and over. I sit down to cereal and I think, okay, top 10 nutritious breakfast cereals for kids, go. Count Chocula, Fruit Loops, Cocoa Puffs. And all that gets me thinking about Wheaties. Okay, top 10 role models to appear on the Wheaties box. Mark McGuire, Tiger Woods, Michael Vick. Lance Armstrong. It's just a constant stream of lists for me.
Wow.
If I find out somebody's doing 10 lists a day, I do 100 lists.
Really?
If somebody's doing 100, I do 1,000.
No way.
If that's what it takes to be a champion, That's what I do, because that's what people expect of me and what I expect of myself.
Well, that is just awesome, John.
All that brings up a few obvious questions.
What?
Where do I go from here?
I don't know.
What else is there to prove?
Well, I...
What else is there to accomplish?
Nothing, really.
I'm already a Hall of Famer.
Yeah?
I'm already a two-time champion.
Yes, you are.
I'm known for my lists.
True.
I think the best thing I can do right now is just give you another list.
Oh, well, that's really not necessary, John.
It's the list of people who have inspired me and helped make this dream a reality.
No, that's okay.
They are. Biden.
What?
Gaga.
Huh?
Bieber.
No.
Tebow. Simon Cowell. Lita Ford. Michelle Obama.
What?
Minaj. One Direction.
Huh?
And last, but certainly not least, Honey Boo Boo.
Oh, my God.
Of course, how could I end this speech without thanking Monty, Lindsay, and everyone at the Rockcast?
Well, yes.
You know, you guys make the world a better place.
Yes, we do.
Here's to another year of the best podcast in the history of mankind. Thank you.
Well, thank you, John, and congratulations once again. It was a great year of top tens, but it doesn't end here. The new season for Top Tens begins on the next episode, so send me those lists. Let's get creative, and you too could be like John Huff in Canada and win it all. Well, that's going to do it for another episode of the Rockcast. Thanks to everyone for your contributions and for supporting this show. Don't forget to go to my website, MontyColvin.net, and check out all my artwork and merchandise.
Nobody's going to do that.
If you'd like to contact me or commission me to do a painting, be sure to do so on my website or on Facebook.
Well, count me the hell out.
Be sure to spread the word and tell your friends about the show. And thanks to everyone who's left kind comments and 5-star ratings on the iTunes store. You guys rule, and I really appreciate you.
You have to be a complete a-hole.
So far today, we've heard everything from Buck Cherry to the Cowsills, and yet I don't really feel like I've crushed your skull yet. So I think I'll take you out with a song that is sure to slam your head up against the wall. It's Redemption by Shadows Fall, and I hope you enjoy it. I'll be back soon with more fun and excitement, but until then, this is Monty saying take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me, and
rock on.
Imitation. Lost.
That was brutal.
The end.